Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers.
Hello, all. Welcome to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. I'm Tim Tarantine, glad to be here in studio with Carla Winchester. Carla, what's up?
How's it going today, Tim?
Oh, everything's fine from my seat. Had another great conversation with another game changer in economic development. This guy is all about his community and changing family stories. It was an awesome conversation.
Yeah, I heard you got a chance this week to talk to Bill Adams, who is a senior target market specialist for Tennessee Valley Authority, TVA, most commonly known as. And Bill is quite a game changer, I hear.
He absolutely is. He kind of specializes in the transportation-related manufacturing and those products that are made that go back to the transportation industry. But most of all, what I like about Bill is not only his strategy, but what he believes about economic development. He's all about giving families the opportunity to change their story forever through jobs and a better quality of life. And you're going to hear the passion, you're going to hear the strategy, you're going to hear the leadership, you're going to hear all that Bill Adams is learning and growing from our industry today. And it was an exciting conversation for me, for sure.
Well, I can't wait to hear all about it.
Let's sit back, relax, and hear the conversation. Bill, welcome on to the podcast. Congratulations for being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers. We're so glad to have you today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm honored.
Absolutely. Can you tell us how you got started? All the top 50 tell me that economic development found them in some type of way. What was your pathway into the industry?
Yeah, I suppose it was the same thing for me. I have a master's degree in public administration from Mississippi State University, and part of the requirement is an internship. So I was fortunate enough. You know, at that point, you're just looking for an internship and happened to get one at the Mississippi Development Authority. And from there, I just stayed. I just kind of found the journey and took the road.
When you look back from that time to this, what's the one thing that keeps you motivated about economic development? Why stay in the industry?
I think it's the impacts. I grew up in an area that was not affluent. And when you see what jobs mean to people and how that can change family trees, being a part of that equation, and it takes a lot of people to put something like that together to attract industry and create the environment to do that. But after it's said and done and the buildings are built and the jobs are there and you can walk by or drive by and you can see all those cars in the parking lot knowing, you know, somebody's got a better life than they did before. And that keeps me moving every day.
No question about it. When you think about our industry as a whole and where it is today as compared to where it was when you started in this industry, give me kind of your thoughts on the current state of economic development.
Well, definitely it's a faster pace. You know, when I used to work projects back in the late 90s, you had time to wait on different funding sources and you could take the time to package the deal and it would take about 9 months to go through the process. And now it's just warp speed and the competitiveness is like it's never been before. You know, with the economy fluctuating like it does, every project counts. And when it comes across your door, there's so much competition now. You really have to be top of your game. If you've let off the accelerator at all, you're going to get left behind.
Well, there's no question about that. And I just want to kind of dive into your team because economic development has changed and because the requirements are different. How do you get your team to innovate and stay ahead of the game? How do you build that kind of culture?
Yeah, of course, you absolutely do. You have to create new programs and new initiatives that meet the marketplace. Yeah. I'm very fortunate that when I work for the Tennessee Valley Authority Economic Development Program right now, it's tremendous leadership within the company, within the organization. They put the resources behind helping our communities be successful in coming up with new programs. And I'm fortunate to be a part of some of those programs where you're basically coming in and helping communities put their best foot forward, help the states put their best foot forward, and you're a valuable part of the team, you hope. And if nothing else, you put the type of resources behind those who make the decisions and try to win the deals.
Sure. After you've built a great team, you still have to face challenges. You talked about some of the different changes and dynamics in our industry. How do you keep the engine going, right? How do you keep the excitement and the passion with so many changing dynamics?
Yeah, you have to have a good team of creative people. Unfortunately, I work with some of the best in the industry, and you can't get down in the down years. You have to start thinking, okay, well, when we come out of these down years, how do we put ourselves in the best possible position? And that takes a lot of forethought, a lot of investing when people say, you know, maybe it's not the best time to invest in different initiatives and programs, et cetera. But we all know that the economy goes in a cycle and opportunities come in cycles. So you have to just be ready for anything. I think it's the challenge of making sure you're prepared. It's the preparedness element that is really motivating. You want to be ready.
When you think about the way we do economic development today, and I mean, obviously there's varying abilities as organizations and people as they respond to the market changes. But if you could rewrite the rules or have a magic wand to rewrite how we do economic development as professionals, what is the first two things you would change about our industry?
Yeah, that's a great question, actually. I think being more scientific-based, economic development, it's got so many different facets, in the political all the way into the numeric and the scientific. You know, making good decisions is going to become more and more important. You have less tolerance for risk in terms of impacts. Funding sources are, you know, shrinking. You know, the company's funding sources are shrinking.
Yeah.
So being very, very calculated about what's a priority for you, how you define success on the front side, rather than trying to react to a project or react to a situation, and then maybe not making the best decisions about how much money to put into a deal or how much traction you should go after or the impacts of the particular project. I think a more forethought before the project comes about what a fit your community is, why you want it, why you maybe don't want it, what you want to try to go after, and what are the potential impacts of that. Essentially, what I'm saying is much more homework and preparedness.
Yeah, you've been driving that preparedness theme, and I think that's critically important. How do you stay prepared when the dynamics are constantly changing? How do you juxtapose that idea of preparation versus this idea that at 10 o'clock at night, an RFP could change its entire nature and expect you to get back tomorrow morning? You know what I mean? There's some things in our business you just can't prepare for. How do you keep that balance of being ready for change and at the same time prepared?
Well, if you're not prepared, you're depending on that client that's coming across with that RFI absolutely having to be where you are. And, you know, we all know the odds of that. It's a very competitive nature in the world. I think what kind of keeps me up at night sometimes is, you know, what have we not thought of for our communities to try to help them take the next step? And TV is a big company, 80,000 square miles of territory, a lot of states, a lot of communities. So, you know, we want to make sure that we're helping them think three steps ahead. The challenge in and of itself kind of drives us every day. You know, if we're looking at a site, for instance, and we're looking at it going, you know, your timeline to get your water there is a little bit outside most projects. How do we solve that problem? How do we solve the problem before the problem bites us, you know?
What's the advantage of working in a larger regional, in your case, multiple state organization, this idea of regionalism and taking an area of the country and starting to be aligned around goals and resources? What are the advantages of that approach?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of advantages. Number one, resources. Now, that's just financial resources. That's human capital. We have a lot of people in our group that are very good at what they do. They have a lot of experience and bring a lot to the table. It's also understanding maybe a little more holistically about how economic development is done throughout our region and throughout the country, maybe a little more exposure to a broader spectrum of types of projects and understanding what drives those projects, and then we can translate that into helping our communities prepare for that if they're fit for those particular industries.
Sure, and the people who help them translate that are obviously those regional groups and you and your team. Let's talk about failure. Everything doesn't always work like we hoped. And sometimes failure is a great teacher if we apply the lessons. Tell us about a time you failed as a leader and what you learned about yourself and the work from it.
Yeah, I think more than anything is probably the failure that I remember the most. I'd like to say there was only one. That's not true. Probably working too much in a silo. And that is the challenge of most economic development teams. It's a very high-pressure world. You've got a lot of things moving. And not bringing in enough people early enough to help accomplish a goal.
Yeah.
You know, that's been me on more than one occasion, I hate to admit, but it really has. And I think I've learned valuable lessons in that. And I think probably that's going to be more and more relevant of an issue coming up in the next 5-10 years because of unavailable resources. And you're having to pull more people in to make things happen. And your ability as an economic developer to be a good organizer and good team leader not try to do it all yourself, that's going to be critical for anyone's success going forward.
Let's do some rapid fire. I'm going to say a word. You respond to it. They'll all be words that are relevant to our industry and to the work you do every day. And I just want to hear your top of mind thoughts when I do.
Okay.
The state of economic development.
Changing rapidly. Preparedness.
Yeah. The future of economic development workforce. And by that, I mean the people who will be running the economic development organizations and the practitioners who will be working with companies. What does that group look like to you in the future?
Collaborators.
Tell us more.
I think the different disciplines that it's going to take to attract new companies in the future, and a lot of them, you know, we are manufacturing-based still in this country, believe it or not. A lot of people don't want to believe that, but we really are. But those skill sets inside of manufacturing are growing higher and higher and higher, and, this, and therefore the demands of the companies and what they need is a little more complex than it used to be. And we also have to face the facts. We're a changing workforce. We have millennials now who work differently than others. They are more collaborative in their environment than more silo-driven. So you have not only just personality types that are changing and needing to be more collaborative because of the nature of the type of workforce that we have, the nature of the actual industries we're attracting now requires much more thought, much more resources, and much more holistic thinking and how to package deals, package a solution path for companies that are locating in your area. Much, much more collaborative environment. So those that are all, you know, hold the cards to the chest are going to find themselves in trouble in the future.
No question about it. The site selection process.
Brutal. It's faster and faster.
Yeah. No question about it. Final one, incentives.
Much more calculated in the future. I think you're going to see modeling much more important in the future because those resources are going to have to be prioritized.
There's no question in my mind. You're absolutely right. Bill, you've been a great interview. Thank you so much for being on the pod today. My hope is that you continue your great work there at TVA, and congratulations for being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers.
Well, I'm honored to be with you, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please tweet me at Ron Kitchens.